The title of my talk is Hydroxyurea-induced caudal malformations in mice are enhanced by deprenyl. So there is a very fine balance between antioxidants and oxidants during the course of development, and an exogenous agent can come in at any time to disrupt this pathway. Developmental toxicants can initiate ROS, reactive oxygen species, which can lead to oxidative stress and ultimately oxidative damage. I'm interested in understanding how this pathway leads to fetal malformations, the targets of oxidative stress, and how it is involved in mediating the teratogenesis. So in my studies, I've used hydroxyurea in order to study this pathway. Hydroxyurea has been around for over 100 years. It is clinically used to treat myeloproliferative syndromes. It is a developmental toxicant in both humans and rodents in utero. It increases fetal death, decreases mean fetal weight, and causes specific caudal defects, specifically hind limb abnormalities, curly hypoplastic tails, gastroschisis, and short tails. Short ribs. There are two thought mechanisms of teratogenesis. The first one is through the main mode of action of hydroxyurea, which is to inhibit ribonucleotide reductase. And this enzyme is involved in the de novo synthesis of DNA. There is also the hydroxylamine group of hydroxyurea, which is very reactive, and it can react with water and oxygen to form hydrogen peroxide and the hydroxyl radical that can produce oxidative stress. These free radicals can react with a lipids within the in cells, for example, the plasma membrane, to cause lipid peroxidation. And one of the byproducts of lipid peroxidation are very reactive aldehydes. And one of them that I study is a very cytotoxic, one of the most, is called 4-hydroxy-2-nonenal, 4-HNE. 4-HNE can form protein adducts with proteins, nucleic acids, and DNA. So we looked at the 4-HNE immunoreactivity within the embryo on gestational day 9, and we found that there was an enhancement of 4-HNE protein adducts within the caudal region in the the area where we see most of the malformations. So then we wanted to identify the targets of 4-HNE in the tail specifically, and we found an array of targets, and one of them specifically glyceraldehyde 3-phosphate dehydrogenase, GAPDH. And as we all know, GAPDH not only used as a control, but is a multifunctional protein, and mainly its involvement in glycolysis to catalyze the reaction of glyceraldehyde 3-phosphate to 1,3-bisphosphoglycerate. So we first looked into that pathway, and so we found that hydroxyurea causes a decrease in GAPDH activity, as well as the end product of glycolysis, lactate. The literature has shown that GAPDH can change its location within the cell. So we wanted to do some immunolocalization. And the way that I did that was by 3D image analysis. And so here you can see this is a somite, which is the going to be the vertebrae of the embryo, where we see the malformations. And so in blue is DAPI, in green is a green fluorescent tagged antibody for GAPDH. And so I hope this works. Okay. So I created a surface over the nucleus as well as GAPDH, and we could separate the two. And then what I did was I subtracted the cytoplasmic GAPDH, removed the surface of the nucleus, and what we're left with is purely nuclear GAPDH. And we can measure the mean intensity, and we found that there was about a 50% increase in the nuclear translocation of GAPDH. So we can safely say that it does go in after hydroxyurea exposure. So we wanted to understand the role of GAPDH, and by inhibiting its nuclear translocation, we were hoping to find some interesting results. We did that by using deprenyl, which is a drug that inhibits this nuclear translocation. And in cells within Parkinson's and Alzheimer's disease, it attenuates the apoptosis. So it has a very important role in that. Incidentally, deprenyl is also an MEOB inhibitor, but lucky for us, MEOB is not expressed at gestational day 9 embryos and is not a target of deprenyl. So we hypothesized that the inhibition of this nuclear translocation of GAPDH with deprenyl will attenuate the hydroxyurea-induced caudal malformations. So we did that by pretreating CD1 dams on gestational day 9 with vehicle or 10 milligrams per kilogram of deprenyl. Shortly after, we treated the same animals with 400 or 600 milligrams per kilogram of hydroxyurea, the low and high dose. We euthanized those dams on gestational day 18 and measured resorption sites, live and dead fetuses, and external malformations. So first, as expected, hydroxyurea does decrease the mean fetal weight in both intermediate and high dose. But what we did not expect was that deprenyl decreased this fetal weight even more. And there was definitely a synergy in deprenyl alone and, in the intermediate dose, but not so much in the high dose. There seems to be a ceiling effect. So then we looked at the resorption sites, and we found that it didn't really change much here, but there was almost a significant decrease in the resorptions when deprenyl was used with hydroxyurea. So it does protect against hydroxyurea-induced embryo lethality. So then we wanted to look at these malformations. And what we found was that deprenyl increases the number of malformations per fetus. So these embryos here are not dying, but the ones that are still alive now have more malformations than before. So we decided to look at those specific malformations, and we focused mainly on the caudal region where we see those malformations. Here is a control, nicely formed. In the high-dose hydroxyurea, we see one missing digit, fused digit, some had short tails here. But in the intermediate dose and deprenyl, we found an enhancement of these malformations. They were more severe. We had more missing digits, either missing or very short or kinked tails. In the highest dose with deprenyl, we have missing limbs altogether, missing tails, missing humerus radius, very, very strange. So then we quantified it, and so HU alone does increase the hind limb malformations and the curly hypoplastic tails very significantly. Now when we added the deprenyl, we had a striking increase in the hind limb malformations in the intermediate dose and somewhat in the high dose, but an incredible increase in the curly tails in the intermediate dose. And we see, I think this is mostly a ceiling effect. So we seem to have a dichotomy here. In the adult, in Parkinson's and Alzheimer's disease, nuclear GAPDH seems to be detrimental because it causes apoptosis. And when you block that translocation with deprenyl, it attenuates the apoptosis and essentially causes neuroprotection. But in the fetus, it doesn't really work that way. When you have nuclear GAPDH, it's possibly protective because when you block it, you get even more malformations. So I'm going to leave you with this quote that one of my mentors once said to me, "The great tragedy of science is the slaying of a beautiful hypothesis by an ugly fact." So I'd like to thank my supervisor and our lab technician, Chen Wei, and the lab, as well as my funding. And I'll be glad to tackle any questions.
The floor is now open for questions, so if you can please go to microphone and say your name.
Amy Ryan. I have a couple of questions. When you did your 3D image rendering of the somites for the GAPDH, did you compare an anterior somite to a more posterior somite? And were there differences?
Yes, we had an array of different somites. So I usually take the lumbosacral somites, where we see those the changes in GAPDH. I looked up a little bit more posterior, and we didn't see very much nuclear GAPDH. That's why I stuck mainly to the lumbosacral.
Okay, and the more anterior?
Yes, anterior.
Okay.
Right.
And so my second question is that the deprenyl sort of caused, you didn't address them, but just I'm curious, many anterior defects, right? There seem to be a lot of abnormalities in the brain, in the formation of the skull and bones. I mean, you had sort of open...
Some of those embryos did have exencephaly. That was the only type of malformation that I saw.
Okay, because some of them looked almost cyclopic a bit. I was just curious. And then you had open... The one you showed had a very open...
Gastroschisis. Yeah, I did have some incidents of that. Those were the most severe of the embryos, where they had many, many different types of malformations. But that was just representative of more than, you know, one or two compared to the hydroxyurea alone. We did see some forelimb where we had missing paws altogether and things like that. So.
Okay, and I'm going to ask one more question since no one's standing at the other mic or behind me. And have you looked at any markers? Like, have you looked at any markers of gene expression because of proteins that might be involved in the combination of defects that you're seeing?
We're working on it.
Okay.
Yeah, right now. Thank you.
No more question? Well, thank you, Ava.